You'll have to be a little patient with me, with my notes and such. So this week's Torah portion, let's see if I can get this going. There we go. Is Vayachel, and it is found in Exodus 35:1 through 38:20. And the title for the Torah portion comes from the first part of the parsha in the Hebrew. So we'll go there. Oops. There we go. And let's see if I can remember the pointer. Okay. I'm going to take my cheating notes and do it from back here so it's easier to point out. But that's where the name of the Torah portion comes from. Vayakel, Moshe, Et Kol, Adat, Bnei Yisrael, Vaomer, Alechem, Elei, Hadevarim, Asher Tziva, Yahweh, Lasot, Otam. Okay, so basically what that is telling us is Moses assembled the entire Israelite community, and that's important, and said to them, these are the words that God has commanded for to do, or for you to do. And so what I want to do as we go through this Torah portion is I want to first highlight what's contained in it. There's a lot of details and a lot of information. So we're going to go through and highlight everything that's contained in it. And we're going to sort of take away some key concepts from it. And then I want to close with, in essence, some lessons that we can garner today. What's important for us today? I think it's important as we read Torah portions to sort of take those lessons and look at today's modern era and what can we learn from them. So that's what we're going to do, or attempt to do. So again, Vayakel. And one of the main points, all the congregation was gathered. Okay, so this was important because there was a couple of times that you'll read in the Torah portion where the entire congregation was gathered. And this was one of those points. And just to give you some hints of what some of the other times were, or actually tell you what they were, another time they were gathered was in Numbers 16:19. This was when Korah gathered the rebellion, the congregation. He gathered them together. And then again in Numbers 20, verse 10. And this was when Moses and Aaron together gathered the congregation and talked about the striking of the rock. Shall we strike the rock to get water for you? So here we have Moses gathering all the congregation in a positive context to tell them the commands of Yahweh. But then those other two times were somewhat of a negative associated with them in what man was trying to do. And that's maybe one of the key concepts we want to come back and look at. Then it talks about the commands for the Sabbath day. Okay, so this was right in the beginning in chapter 35. And it talks about specifically, it's to be a complete day of rest. And it's going to be holy to the Lord. And then it makes the point to say, anyone who worked on the Sabbath would be put to death, shall be put to death, is how it puts it. It also goes into the point of not kindling fire, but specifically in your settlements on the Sabbath. Okay, so it makes the point, don't go and kindle the fire, but it's not just kindling the fire, but don't kindle it in your homes, in your settlements, in your communities. Then it goes into the commands about offerings for the sanctuary. And we're gonna touch a little more on that, but real quick highlight is those who were willing were the ones that were to bring the gift, the offerings for Yahweh. So that was a key part of the command, was you had to have a willing heart to be able to participate. Again, focusing on what these offerings were for. They were for the building of the sanctuary, specifically. So in order for you to take part of that, you had to have a willing heart, and your heart had to be willing to go to that effort. And I think another point is, not only did you have to have a willing heart, you had to have the materials. If you had a willing heart but you had no materials, then you couldn't bring the offering. So you had to have a willing heart, and you had to have the materials to be able to offer to make for the sanctuary. And I'll just real quickly go through all of the items that he tells them to bring, because they're specific. He says, bring gold, silver, and copper, blue, purple, and crimson yarns, fine linen and goat's hair, tanned ram skins, dolphin skins, acacia wood, oil for lighting, spices for the anointing oil and for the aromatic incense, lapis lazuli, and other stones for setting and for the ephod and for the breast piece. So not only were they offerings in the building of the sanctuary, but it was specific offerings. We'll come back to that point. Next, he also commands on who was to be involved in the building. So who was going to be the one that was fashioning these items into all of these things that would be used for the service of the sanctuary and for the sanctuary itself? And those who are skilled, I think it's interesting to note that they would make all the instruments required for the service, but later they were even called by name. So it was not just those who were skilled, but there were specific ones that were appointed to specific purposes, and they were called by name. But for those who were skilled to be able to do their craft, they had to be material. So we're going to see that later on, you know, in the points, that there's an order to this. And then finally, there's items that are specific. There's a great many details in this Torah portion as you go through it. Many details as to what these items were, what was to be accepted, you know, from the intention of how they were to be given, to who was to work them, and what was the purpose. Everything had a plan, and everything had a purpose. So, and then we'll go on. The skilled workers, okay, those who were skilled and that they would be fashioning these items, they knew, in essence, they knew how much. They again, keep in mind the purpose was for building of the tabernacle and for the service and the items that were to be used for that. They basically knew how much. And the reason I say that was because the next part, it talks about the people bringing more than necessary. So they had to know how much was necessary for them to say, Moses, the people are bringing way too much. We don't need this much. You know, we have enough. So it did get to the point, and that goes to the heart of the people. The heart of the people was willing to give way more than was necessary or required to fulfilling this commandment, to achieving the final outcome, to achieving the project, to build the tabernacle. And again, the purpose of the tabernacle was so that Yahweh may dwell with them. So it was that willingness of heart and the willingness of the skilled workers to set their skill and their task in doing and accomplishing what Yahweh had commanded them to do. Now, I thought it was interesting to go back and look. Exodus 36:3 indicates that they were bringing these offerings every morning. So in the morning, they were bringing the offerings. Think about what else was being done or bringing in the morning. You know, and that's interesting to note. You know, I mean, things like, you know, the manna. The manna came in the morning. They were gathering it in the morning. So, you know, again, kind of look at those correlations in this. So again, the people brought more than was necessary. Moses decreed, it got to the point where Moses actually decreed to the people, stop bringing, giving any more offering for the sanctuary, okay? It wasn't like, you know, he was specific in what he was telling them to stop giving. And it was for this purpose, for the building of the sanctuary. And then the skilled workers were the ones that create the tabernacle and all of the service items for it. And I'll just go through one of the amazing parts. Basically, in chapter 37, chapter 37 names Bezalel. And he basically, all of the things, if you look at all of the things that he was responsible for creating or that he took part in creating, it's amazing at how much involvement he had in it. And I'll just go through real quick, just to highlight, he made the ark and all of its parts, the menorah and its parts, the incense altar, the sacred anointing oil, the incense, the altar for burnt offerings, the utensils for the altar, the laver, the enclosure. So go back and look to see what all he had a part in. And it's just amazing that, you know, God sets people for a purpose. And he has the people in mind because he was even naming them by name beforehand. So, and we're going to get to that now. We're going to look at some specific key points. And I think I touched on this. There's an order. Yahweh has an order in the way he does things. All of the things that he commanded, first of all, had to be present, from the materials to the people of skill to the willingness of heart to, you know, the willingness to accomplish this task to the willingness before getting into the wilderness to carry all these things out to the wilderness to the willingness to follow his command to go and talk to the people of Egypt and ask for these things. You know, I think it's easy to overlook that because today and age, that would be like telling us, you know, go to your rich neighbor and go ask them for all their gold jewelry and all their silver and all of the items of value that they have. Would it be so easy for us, first of all, for us to do that? Second of all, would we believe, oh, they're just going to willingly give these things up? Especially in today's day and age. So think about, you know, it was interesting as I was going through this, I was thinking about some of these things and found that interesting. There was meticulous detail in everything. Again, showing that God has a plan and order. And we all know in our lives those people that have the lists, you know, and they kind of go through and make their list and they check off, you know, God's lists are perfectly ordered and there is nothing missing from them. Even those people that we know with the list, sometimes they even miss out things, but God doesn't miss anything. They had to be willing of heart. So just going through these key points, the gifts were specific. Those who were skilled were called by name. I think it's interesting that the gifts were specific. It wasn't any offering that was to be brought for this purpose. So he had a purpose for everything. And then he had a reason for asking for everything, even before they got to this point. And then all items had a purpose and a measure. Those who had a special skill necessary for making the instruments of the service were called by name. Everyone had to be of one accord for the purpose of building the sanctuary, or it wouldn't have happened. And going back, everything had its purpose and its and the material was specific. Why is that important to us today? Why is it important for us to know that Yahweh has an order and Yahweh has certain materials that he wants in the building of his sanctuary, in the building of his kingdom, for him to be able to dwell with us? I think it's interesting to note that these things all are sort of part in the building of his kingdom. You know, all of these things have to fall into order and into place. So, going forward, what is important for us to know today? What's in the details? Let's go back for a moment to Exodus 3. And we'll go to Exodus 3, 21 through 22. And just to give you kind of a foreshadowing, here's where, you know, in Exodus 3 is where Moses goes and sees the burning bush and has to go aside and see what is this burning bush. And this is where he's given instructions on what he's to do. And he's given instructions concerning all of these things that would take place in the future. Okay? And 21 through 22 says, "And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you won't go empty-handed, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourns in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you'll spoil the Egyptians." Even from back here, even before Moses was called, the plan existed. Not only the plan, but the details in all the way to the last degree that they could reach were set in place. I think that's important for us to know. It's a bit, think of this too. When the people were called to give gold, okay? Think back to another leader asking them for gold, and there was Aaron asking them for the gold earrings, and we know kind of where that went. What would have been in the heart of the people? Here's another leader, and he's asking us for gold again, and he's asking us for jewelry. How's this going to turn out? You know, there had to be some nervousness to it. There had to be some kind of a, you know, I have a willing heart, and I just pray that, you know, it happens in accordance to the Lord's word. So I think what's in the details here is the beauty and the mercy that Yahweh has. You know, when you look at the Torah portions and realize that Aaron had asked for these things and that the people were willing still to follow based on what Moses said that God had commanded, it's just a beauty, because that same item that was previously led them down the wrong path, you know, was now being used. It's just interesting how God uses those things to his glory. How he can take one thing that man would have done for a purpose that wasn't of his, and then take that same item and make it glorious. I think he does that with us too. Sometimes we go through life and we may have our own way, it's not the same as Yahweh's. And he can take us, even us, and put us in his purpose, put us into his way. So I think what's important for us to know, first of all, what's in the details? Yahweh's mercy and beauty. As you go through and you think of all of these items and the explicit detail that's gone into it and how the tabernacle's built, what a beautiful sight that must have been. It must have been like nothing else ever seen before. Probably ever seen again, but the day will come. We will see it again. And I think what's important for us to know, he has set up the victory. We've been through so many trials this week in particular. It's important for us to know these things because Yahweh set up the victory even before the trials, even before the signs that he gave to Moses, even before the signs and wonders that he gave the Egyptians, even before he lets us know what he wants from us and for us to do, and even before we ask why we're chosen, he assigns us skills before we know what skills are needed. And he has the ultimate plan, and he will see it to the end for his victory and for his glory. Blessed be Yahweh. Amen. Baruch Hashem. So ends the Torah portion.